so much, Patty. And Patty. Match pair for entertainment. Our first reading will be Acts 2, verses 1 through 12. And I will tell you ahead of time that Derek must have known that I don't like these kinds of passages because they have all the things that you don't know how to say. So you have to learn.
You'll do fine.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native tongue, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They were filled with new wine."
So you get an A+ for reading all the names of Pentecost. As I was picking the text or getting ready for this week, I thought, who has to go over the waterfall this year? Because I'm not doing it. As someone who struggles with pronunciation at times, it can be daunting. Great job. Young people, have you ever wondered what happens between the verses? And here's what I mean by that. What happens in our text or in our scriptures or in their lives that's recorded in the Word for us that's not recorded? Kind of what happens next or what's going on for them. And for real world example, let's just talk for a moment about what's happened in the life of the people. Last time we bumped into these folks, these nervously forgiven disciples, it's the ascension, 10 days ago. Now Jesus says at that moment, just kind of chill and I'll see you in a few days. They don't know what happens. That's what makes me wonder, what happens then? When there's nothing going on except just living. On a personal note, I can say the last time that I was in the office was on Ascension. And now it is Pentecost. It has been 10 days since I've been here. And it feels different. COVID has forced us, young folks, to consider things differently. It's forced us to reconsider a lot of things. But one thing it hasn't affected, which is what I hear at home all the time, is the pacing of life, right? Things still have to be done. Some of you will still get up tomorrow morning and have assignments to do. Some of you are done. Some of you will have to get ready for work. Some of you don't. The pacing continues. What goes on in that middle space in your Christian walk when there's nothing happening in the narrative with Christ? Because I bet if you asked when we get to heaven and you grab a disciple and you say, "So what happens between Ascension and Pentecost?" they'll have a wonderful story to tell you. I wonder what your story would look like. What happens in the space between what God's doing in this moment and what's the next thing? Will you join me in the prayer preparation as we get ready to spend time with the Word? Lord God, we thank you for these your words and for this your story. As we continue to work in our lives and continue to grow in our faith, speak to our hearts and our minds, so that not only when we are confronted with the narrative are we encountering you, but in the times when we might think we're just putting our feet up and waiting, we are encountering you. It's in Jesus' name we ask you to speak to us now. Amen. Like I said before, Sue got the hard part. I get the easy one. We will continue with the Pentecost narrative found on page 948 of the Pew Bible. It is Acts 2:14 through 21. And it says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And give ear to my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, on my men servants and on my maid servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, gracious God, God of Pentecost, speak to our hearts and our minds now as we consider this story and as we prepare to receive your communion. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. I want you to try to imagine with me a scene that will help us to frame the Pentecost 2 narrative of Acts chapter 2. The people that I want you to imagine of our story are farmers, as their parents before them and those before them. These are generations of hard-working families who work the land faithfully. And as any good farmer will tell you, if you work the land hard enough, if you persevere, if you don't cut corners in what you're doing and how you're doing it, then the land will provide for you. It will provide. You will be blessed. You will be cared for. The fruit of your labor. Every type of vegetable, a fruit, grows on these farms in our story. In fact, because the farmers work so hard, everything that they plant grows well. Even stuff that probably shouldn't grow well here, it grows well here. They are blessed. And more than being blessed, they know they are blessed. But one day, without warning, a fire breaks out on the farm of our story. A devastating fire. It burns down all those fruit trees that shouldn't grow there. The crops are laid complete waste. The animals who drank the water that irrigated the fields find themselves suffering severe dehydration, so much so that it seems the animals even cry out in their own way. From prosperity to desolation. The fire that is before the people seems to roll down or over the fields towards their homesteads. They've worked so hard. Their parents and grandparents worked so hard with. The wind pushes it so fast, the fire seems to almost jump or skip from home to home, field to field. Before these farmers know it, the fire is behind them, as it was before them a moment ago, consuming everything they've worked so hard to produce, everything their families have worked so hard to produce, everything they know. The people of our story, they are in anguish, aren't they? They will lose it all. They try to climb up their homes, up the walls actually, crawl through the windows for safety, but the fire does not stop, the fire becoming almost an army whose advance humanity cannot halt in itself. I don't know any farmers personally right now, but I doubt they would want to live and work in that level of devastation. But this is the story. The story that we're telling is not something that I've made up for you. This is the story of the prophet Joel. The prophet Joel, that he tells the Israelites in his book. This is what he says will happen to these people. He begs them to repent before the fire, however you define it, before it consumes and annihilates everything, before decimation comes. It is interesting to know that this is a story of a horrible fire, and its effect is what Peter reminds the people of Acts 2 about when fire fell from heaven and tongues of fire rested on the people. He reminds them of Joel. Fire is not a pleasant thing to endure in an agrarian society. I wonder what they thought was happening on that first Pentecost day when Peter said those words and what those words of fire meant to them. Just as I wonder when you have found the movements of God in your own life, in your community, maybe in our church, to be frightening. Was salvation possible in those moments? Could you find it if you looked for it? I suspect that would be a challenge for anybody, myself included. Just saying that God exceeds our expectations feels like minimizing what the Pentecost event is about in its totality. For what God is doing and how God is moving in Acts 2 is bigger than just tongues of fire that rest upon the people. It is bigger and more influential than transforming the timid disciples of the church into the leaders of this New Testament church who will spread God's word to the farthest reaches of the earth. By using the message of Joel, you see, Peter is not only reminding the people that the miraculous events of the day, the visions and dreams that they're coming in these days, but by speaking of Joel, Peter reminds them that while what they are experiencing or what they may experience in their future can seem dark, negative, isolating, uncertain, or harmful, God can and God does break through. God breaks through it all. God takes what we label as divisive or self-defining only and draws us into a communal sense and understanding where the gospel's message is proclaimed and experienced in power in a new way. This is the very definition of salvation, I think. God linking us to God's very self in a way that connects us together, even if we cannot be connected together through times of the coronavirus. God still continues to convert, to transform us, because events such as what we're reading about today in Acts 2. God saves when the expectation from what we have of Joel is that that's not possible. We are too alone. We are too separate. We are too divided. Or we don't want to believe the same thing. Or as Michael Velker would say it, the Pentecost event connects intense experiences of individuality with the new experience of community. Therein lies the miracle, I think, of Pentecost for us as you and I prepare to celebrate communion, whether it's here in the worship space or virtually. The miracle is not just that tongues of fire descend upon the people. The miracle is that God comes into a given situation, dwells with the people, helps those people to have a similar understanding of each other in a new way, and by doing so grants salvation, even when it feels like and looks like it might possibly be too isolating out there and too separating. Salvation is accessible to the masses, and the disciples are on the front lines of teaching this. They are granted the opportunity to speak of this truth to the newly converted Jews living in Jerusalem, using Joel as their metaphor. Joel understands this, and he writes about it. In an event that feels traumatic and devastating, such as a great fire sweeping through the community, destroying their farms, killing their animals, and causing great suffering, God is linking together all of us in a way where salvation is accessible and we can help each other understand it. Pentecost is about salvation coming into the lives of a people who do not think God is with them at all. And therein we find a tie back to the church of 2020 as we address our work and the effects of the coronavirus in our community. And so the Pentecost event is where the church is empowered to speak to all types of people. As the fire story that we began with consumes everything until nothing is unique or distinct, and until every farm has been touched by it, so salvation, so Pentecost, continues to be offered, continues to be touched by every life, by God. But the disciples in Acts 2, and you right here, whether you are with us here or not, have a role to play in it. Notice that in some 16 spoken languages that Sue so eloquently cited for us this morning, we are drawn to consider that every known language of the day, every single one, all of those who were in Jerusalem, every one of them heard the gospel message proclaimed. They may not have been trained or taught, but they heard it. The gospel message. Salvation and the message Jesus taught in the gospels are not held apart from any other people on Pentecost. No one is unwelcome before Jesus. No one is unwelcome before his table. Certainly, when we are confronted by the gospel, everything changes in our lives. A change is mandated. But today we learn on Pentecost that we are all privy to hear what the Spirit speaks in that holy city on that holy day. This is summed up so beautifully by Peter in verse 21 when he says, "Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so we can wonder together, what do my words have in them that must be shared with the community? Our training may not be complete. We may not feel ready. But the Spirit has fallen on Pentecost, and we are sent. What is the response? And are you called to share it? This story and this account relate directly to the communion which sits before us. What sits there is unique. It represents a union offered to a people who would betray and run from God when the pressure of the gospel becomes too great. But there was no judgment in that choice or action that they did. Instead, the communion sits here as a reminder. Salvation is here. And so as we share not only these elements, we are to share the message of Pentecost, that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we are thankful to be together this morning on Pentecost. We are thankful to be together in worship, considering you, being present with you, recognizing that you are with us, even if we thought you might not be. And so as we come to this table, we join those themselves who have come, some who were certain of their faith, some who were not. Some who believed strongly and some who doubted mightily. For there is a seat at this table for all of us. And we are thankful. It is in the name of Jesus we ask you to be with us today. Amen. I remind you that as we do when we partake of communion as the church, that we will be using the Lord's Prayer as it is printed in your bulletin. Whether you have it as a PDF that you printed out or the bulletin you picked up this morning, you will recognize it as we have used it many times. Because there is one loaf, we, many as we are one body. For it is one loaf which we all partake of. When we break the bread, is it not the sharing of the body of Christ? When we are given over to the cup, is it not the sharing in Christ's blood? And so today, the Lord be with you as you come. Lift up your hearts today to God. It is truly right, and it is our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal and creator and ruler of the universe. With the majesty of your hand, you shape this world and all that is in it. By your Holy Spirit, you breathe life into human form and set us on the earth to praise and to serve you. When we wandered from your ways and were lost in sin's wilderness, your truth burned in the hearts of prophets who called your people to return to the path of righteousness. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son to be our deliverer. In every age, your Holy Spirit has led us in your ways. And so therefore we praise you, joining our voices with the choirs of angels and with the faithful of every time and place who sing to the glory of your name. Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. At his baptism by John, your Spirit came with gentle wings, settling on him your blessing. In the wilderness of temptation, your Spirit stood by him with power. In his life and ministry, your Spirit led him to serve and care for the poor. Proclaim freedom from sin's bondage. Open eyes of faith's sight. And befriend the friendless and the outcast. In all that he did and all that he said, he announced the coming of your saving might. By his death on the cross and rising from the tomb, he broke the power of death and led the way to eternal life, ascended to rule from on high. Christ prays for us and promises the coming of peace and power. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take from this creation your bread and your wine, from the gifts you have given us, and we celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Christ Jesus. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as our lives are living and holy offerings to you. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. And by your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in Christ's ministry in every place. As this body is Christ's body, send us out to be Christ's body in the world. And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together as we were first taught, saying, Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not bring us to test, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hear the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest and his betrayal, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you do it, drink it, do this also in remembrance of me. Every time you eat this bread, and every time you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. And so now I invite you, working from back to front, to come forward, take the elements as you wish, return by the sides, and we will continue with communion once you are seated again.
Body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Help us to have shared Christ's body today and received his cup to be his faithful disciple, so that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and our love be your love, reaching out into the world that we come from. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
As we continue to progress through our worship time, we have received a prayer concern that has come forward through the virtual platform. And of course, we have ones to share in our midst this morning. But before we do that, on this Pentecost Sunday, when we think about and consider the movements of God in all of creation, where have you seen God at work? Tim.
Now that you are wearing, I think for the very first time,
I am.
Your doctorate robe, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And God has worked through you, through us, through you, to and we thank him for getting you to this point in your faith journey.
Thank you, Tim.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
On a beautiful new robe with a little, the three stripes on each arm.
That's right. Got my three stripes. Thank you. It is. I will tell you, anecdotally, it is much lighter of a robe than the one I normally wear. So there's a benefit to it. I would be 5 pounds lighter right now if I wasn't. Thank you. I appreciate that. Where have you seen God at work? Bert?
By being there. So throughout the events of the day, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You're not the only one who thought that, I'm sure.
It was an isolated situation.
Mm-hmm.
These people were isolated. Mm. And some people looked at the little kids and they saw how cute they were and all this stuff like that. And I looked at the little kids and I saw myself in that same situation. Mm. That's where I've seen God in my meditations this week.
I'm glad you shared it with us this morning. Thank you. Where have you seen God at work? Amy?
I saw God at work at Sun Valley graduation.
Yeah.
I was happy that they had an event, even though it wasn't what they usually have. But I think it was very personalized for each child. And congratulations to the Moradas for their graduation of their John Mark, who still seems way too young to graduate from this. I mean, I know it's old enough, but it's just like that. And so I know we'll do great things, and all the kids will do great things. So I'm just glad they had something.
It was a blessing, to be sure, to be up there. If you see Jennifer's video that she posted, you don't hear me because I got nothing. Like, I can't say anything because all she can't hear me now because she's not sitting in here. I think she's on watching virtually right now. But she reminded me on Thursday of the last thing he said to us when we dropped him off for preschool. And I was just like, are you serious? You just did that right now? You know, that kind of thing. It was bye, Mom and Dad. I said, bye, Mom and Dad. Just like that. And I just about ripped my guts out. So as I watched him walk, it was there. I will say it was a blessing, and it is God at work in the school system. We shared the graduation with other people we had come in contact with who are in the Seneca school system. And they were flabbergasted that Seneca could figure something out because their schools didn't. And so we are quite blessed to be able to have that opportunity. And it was very smooth. Even though I had to cram in the back seat because he refused. But I mean, hey. What are you going to do? Thank you for sharing with us, Amy. Where have you seen God at work? I thank you for sharing these stories and reflections with us. As I said, to begin our service, we will certainly include time in prayer, both silent and not, to pray for the riots and the situations that are happening in response to the Floyd death. And so we will be praying for peace to reign. Not you are right and we are wrong, but God come will be our prayer in that time. We also received a prayer concern virtually from Steve Rotz asking us to pray for his parents, Marnie and Richard, who are going through a difficult transitional period. And so we will certainly keep Steve's parents in our prayers today. Do you have other joys and concerns to share today? Bert. We will keep Ed in our prayers today. Are there others? Tim.
Yeah, I'm a joy. I seem like I told most of the same story. My neighbor, Reach, who I saw this morning walking the dog, and I've shared with him before, he has leukemia. He's about 52 years old. Mm-hmm. And he told me he actually crossed the street today, and he got within about 10 feet of me, which was a breakthrough. And he told me that I said, Reach, I know you don't want to get too close, you know, because I don't, you know, try to be careful. And he said, my blood number counts are very good. So I think that's a joy that he's, mm-hmm. He had his little girl with him too, and his dogs, and he seems to be doing a lot better. Thank you for all the prayers, and he's doing great.
Wonderful. We are glad to hear that Reach is doing well. Are there other joys and concerns? Then let us be the church. Loving God, we are thankful to be together in this time. We are thankful to be in the house of worship together, celebrating not just the birth of the church and the ascension, but the empowerment of the church at Pentecost. As the message of salvation is with us. And what is that message for us? It is that you are with us. You are close. So that when we battle diseases, you are there. When we go through difficult times of transition, when things seem uncertain or unclear in the path to head forward on, you are there. When violence and anger erupt, we find you there. Maybe not as the cause, as some might think, but in a healing balm. You are there. You are drawing us to be together as the community, as your children. We are thankful to be able to be in the house of God this morning, to worship you, to celebrate communion together, to hear how you are at work, to be reminded to love better and reminded that you break through in situations such as the graduation in Seneca where we didn't think a breakthrough was possible. But you are the God who exceeds expectations at every turn, it seems. Reg knows this as his blood numbers continue to come down, and we are thankful that Tim shared that with us, the God who heals and breaks through. You are the God who is present in Ed's life, and so we trust him to your care as he battles a potentially fatal disease. May it not be fatal to him. May he be blessed. May his health recover. We know that you are present in Marnie and Richard's life, and that as the transition looks difficult for them, nothing is impossible with you. And so we commit them to you, their situation, their care. We ask you to bless them, their children, to watch over them. And of course, Lord God, we lift up the violence that is going on, not just in Minnesota, but pockets of it breaking out throughout our country in response this weekend. We ask you to come, to heal, to restore. Not to placate or to push aside the issues, but to heal. End the violence. End the suffering. Heal. And so, Lord, we commit a moment of silence to this. And we ask your Spirit to dwell there in the lives of those who are on the front lines, trying to quell these riots. And we pray, as I have said many times, Lord, for healing there, both physical and emotional. Gracious God, thank you for being with us in worship. Thank you for drawing us to this place. Thank you for being with us since March as we have gone through this coronavirus separation. And as we can see a potential end coming, we rejoice. We give you thanks, praise, and honor. Continue to be with us as we worship and as we leave this place. Help us to take that message of salvation, that all who call upon you can be saved out into the world where it is needed. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. Our final hymn together is in your blue hymnal on page 324, or in your packet if you downloaded one. It is on page 324. Open my eyes that I may see. Will you stand in the sanctuary as you are able? Bow your heads for the blessing. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on a most holy faith. Pray in the Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen.